Hello there, everyone. My name is Elijah Taylor, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation outside the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is December 19, 2023, CBS 7, 2027. We're going to start our first service today, our sermon, entitled Seven Women Take a Hold of One Man. And that's the text of address of E.T. Hall of March 1st, 1947. It's one timely taken from the volume one of the timely greetings, number 30. Okay, it says, and in that day, seven women shall take a hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own apparel and wear our own. We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. For the first thing that we need to know is the time indicated by the term and that day. For the antecedent of the words that day is found in verses 13 and 14 of the preceding chapters, of which the fourth chapter is a continuation. These verses point out that that day is the judgment day of and the time of the living and the 12th parabolic hour, the day that the sanctuary, the church, is cleansed. So we had a cleansing and started the Passover 2002 at the third feeding pastor for the seventh day Adventist, and that was Gilead Center. So essentially we were all members of the seventh day Adventist church at Kermit, Texas, from 1970 to 2003. So we had a separation, a final, 2003 down at Kermit, from Gilead Center to Mount Zion at the 12th hour, with a new leadership and typical Elijah David. And Yahshua, as the invisible king, his presence was there. And by his presence being there, indicated that the ensign had been set up with Yahshua and David, and typical David setting up the everlasting kingdom of heaven. So it says, so it's the day in which the sanctuary is cleansed and the Gilead Center was cleansed, but it was the cleansing of the Seventh Day Adventist Church. That was in 2002, start the Passover, and the 2002 ended at the atonement of the seventh month. Passover was in the first month, so 6 months later we have the atonement, and that's the cleansing of the sanctuary every year. So pointing unto the day and that we are now living in for the judgment day of the living against the house of Yahweh with an ancient name for the house, 1 Peter 4:17 and Ezekiel 9:6, with the Brother Johnson, Kermit, Texas, 2002 and 2003, that was the years, the 1 year, that closed out the judgment of the dead, the sixth seal, and the sixth trumpet. Okay. For the churches have arrived at the place where by their action they are in the reality sin until the Yeshua we want nothing from you but your name. Just let us be called a Christian, and it's all we want from you. We want your name because it takes away our reproach. That is, if we be called Christian, then what we do can be blamed on you. You get the credit for it. Accordingly, the world has reached today Yahweh and the order for the saving of the House of Israel Church at Gilead Center, representing the Seventh-day Adventist Church, has finally compelled to do something as great and as revolutionary as brought about by the first advent of the Yeshua 2,000 years ago. And what could that be? For the remaining verses of the chapter gives the answer. Isaiah 14. And that day, parentheses, when seven women take a hold of one man, in parentheses, shall the branch of the Yeshua be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and charming for them that are escaped of the Israel. For this verse shows that the time has come right for this glorious revolutionizing of the church and of the world. Let us remember that the history repeats, and that a dark, cloudy day is always followed by a bright one. So this great apostasy is to be followed not by the chaos, but by the glorious revival and reformation. By the glory and prosperity for all of the saints that escape the vengeance of a great Yahweh. As the faithful shall reap a harvest of the souls, as did the apostles, on and after the Pentecost. Behold, the day is come, saith Yeshua, that I will raise unto the David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, in the Christian era, Judea shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called Yeshua, our righteousness. Jeremiah 23:5-6. For this very message, therefore, is a message of the righteousness by the faith and the blood of the Yeshua, and the everlasting covenant of Hebrews 10, the whole chapter, that's more notably verse 19 and 20, the New and Living Way, it talks about there, to them that believe, and the day that the righteous branch is raised, Judah and Israel shall be saved, and they shall be all safe. Now this righteous branch has not been raised yet, but we're in the time period for the raising of this righteous branch. So we're going to have to do some fasting and praying, all of us leaders, everybody. If you're a leader, we're going to have to go into some fasting, start a 24-hour period, and gradually work into it. trip there. This righteous branch has not been raised up yet for the world to see. The righteous branch has been born. Yes, it was born 20 years ago, 2003. For the very message, therefore, is the message of the righteous by the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 10, and Hebrews chapter 12, and the whole book of Hebrews deals with Yahshua's priesthood and his righteousness, that we can have his righteousness as our righteousness if we choose to. And the day that the righteous branch is raised, Judah and Israel shall be saved, and they shall dwell safely. Yes, the day is here when Yahweh's vengeance is to fall upon his adversaries and the once trodden down kingdoms of the Judah and Israel are to rise unto the prominence and power. Therefore, behold, the day is come, saith the Yahweh, that they shall no more say the Yah. Let's do the Yahshua. Let's say, therefore, behold, the day is come, saith Yahshua the Son, that they shall no more say that Yahshua liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, that Yahshua liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Jeremiah 23:7-8. Plainly this is the final harvest of the earth, the gathering of the people from all countries. It is the day that we sing the song of Moses. It's the day for the singing of the song of Moses and the Lamb. For this is to be the second and that Exodus movement, so great until so great will it be that it will entirely eclipse the movement of the Moses day. Here we then realize that we are on the verge of a new day, a great day for the faithful and a dreadful one for the unfaithful. Isaiah 4:3. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. This verse clearly shows that while none of the wicked in the church will survive the purification, yet none of the righteous will perish. Indeed, all that are left will be called holy and will enjoy even greater security than did his ancient people at the time they left Egypt. Behold, Yahshua whom ye seek shall suddenly come to unto his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, that is, answer for Elijah, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yahshua the host. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like the fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of the silver, and he shall surely purge the sons of the Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering and righteousness. Malachi 3:1-3. Isaiah 4:4-6. When the Yahshua shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of the Yerushalayim from the midst thereof by the spirit of the judgment, and by the spirit of the burning, and the Yahshua will creep upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion, and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by the day, and a shining of a flaming fire by the night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the day, from the heat, and for a place of the refuge, and for covert from the storm and from the rain. For I say that Yahshua will be unto her a wall of the fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Zechariah 2:5. Anyone who knows the Bible can see that all of these events are premillennial, so it is that this present apostasy is to bring forth the Yahshua's fruitful branch. And that apostasy took place for the Seventh-day Adventist with his representative, the angel of the seventh candlestick, at the Gilead Center in Kermit 2002, Brother Stevie Johnson, being this prophet, last prophet to the Adventist Church, and I was a member of the Adventist Church. We had the branch phase of the Adventist Church. Third feeding pastor was the branch phase. The second feeding pastor, Carmel, was the rod phase. It was the teaching of it. It was to bring forth the Yahshua's fruitful branch. That fruitful means a branch that's going to bring forth purified converts who are among Yahweh's people, are to be taken out of the way, and the faithful, those that escape, come through the judgment, to start the judgment of the living, starting at with the instrument for the house, starting with the judgment of the living, 1 Peter 4:17, for judgment must first begin at the house of Yahweh. Are to be the servants of the Yahweh and reap a harvest of the soul. As such, it should be said that the day of the vengeance is already at the threshold of the house. That the faithful ones are to be ready to prominence and power, that the greatness and the glory of the movement of the 11th hour called servants, Matthew 20:6, that was called at the end of the 11th hour for the working in the last moment for adverse history for Israel, and that was number 5 with the 5 group of laborers as the house of David. That was your 5th group of laborers in Matthew 20 verse 5. Calls the wonders of the Exodus movement and of the early apostolic congregation to fade into the insignificance. Brother, sister, are you prepared for the abiding in the day of his coming? Will it be to you a great and glorious day, or will it be a dreadful day? Will you find yourself at his right or at his left? Will it be said unto you, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world? Or will it be said unto you, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels? Will you, will your garments pass his inspection, or will you find yourself cast into the outer darkness, there to gnash your teeth? These are the solemn questions that each of us must now answer unto himself. If we do not answer them now, then we will have to answer by the standing as species before an angry Yahweh. May every one of us be able in that day to say, lo, this is our Yahweh. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Yahshua. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Isaiah 25:9. A depth of mercy, the ending of this sermon. It's a recital of 3 paragraphs of a poem. Depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my Yah his wrath forbear? Me the chief of sinners spare. I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him to his face, would not hearken to his call, grieved him by 1,000 fall. There for me the Savior stand, shows his wound and spreads his hand. Yah is love, I know, I feel. Yahshua weeps and loves me still. If you have not already sent for your copy of the publicized and much discussed little 96-page health book, okay. So he made the office advertise his health book. This brings in as our says this our contest is at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to continue on. Actually, with for the second half of this study, with first timely greetings number 31, entitled "The Old Family Tree." It says, fathers preferred deceit, their children given grace. Reading now, it's from Isaiah 11. We'll start with verse 1. This is, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Here is a family tree, in which 3 persons are introduced. 3 people. Yahshua is one of these 3 people. He's represented by the branch. this verse does not say whom the rod represents. Let's do that again. For this verse does not say whom the rod represents. It does not say whom the branch represents. But it does say that the stem is Jesse, as the father of the King David. For the rod that came out of the stem could only be none other than the son of Jesse, David, as the king of the ancient Israel. For the verses following this verse explain that the branch is Yahshua himself, purely then this family tree represents Jesse, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, David, the rod period, and Yahshua, the branch period. Okay, so the Seventh-day Adventist branch period was from 1844, actually, so I said Jesse, explains that that Jesse represents the Advent from 1844 to 1930, and David the rod period represents the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist from 1930 to 1970, a 40-year period. That's how long David actually ruled as a king. And Yahshua actually reigned total from his birth on to his death on and resurrection was 33 and a half years and the time. So we have that same period duplicated in our day with the branch period beginning in the beginning of the 11th parabolic hour, 1970. And ended in 2003, actually. For the remaining verses of the chapter are with the concerning of the Yahshua, with his work and in his kingdom. Isaiah 11:2. And the spirit of the Yahshua shall rest upon him. With the spirit of the wisdom and understanding, with the spirit of the counsel and might, with the spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Yahweh. Actually, this is talking about let's just continue on. Upon this one gift, the gift of the Spirit, all things hinge, Isaiah 11:3-4, and shall make him of the quick understanding and the fear of the Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove at the hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with the equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. These verses, I am sure, need no comment, save for the mentioning that the rod of his mouth and the breath of his lips must mean as Yahweh's word, his truth. For this very truth and to which we are listening at half noon will therefore on the one hand slay those who reject it together with those who are disobedient unto it. Really, on the other hand, save those who give heed unto it and who comply with its requirement. For the one consequence is as natural as the other. For the example, did not the preaching of the gospel, parentheses, plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, save the apostles, but at the same time caused Judas to commit suicide, and did it not save the disciples, but destroy all the unbelieving of and the Jerusalem in 70 A.D. And the everlasting kingdom, the here predicted of the David, not only are men to be at the peace with the men, let's do that again, for in the antipical everlasting kingdom of the heaven, Daniel 2:44-45, that is set up by Yahshua, the here predicted for the arriving in the last days in the 12th parabolic hour, that we're in now with Yahshua himself coming down here and sitting up and raising up the tabernacle, the tabernacle of David that has fallen down. That's in Amos chapter 9, verse about 12, 13, 14. Not only are men to be at the peace with men, but men with the beast, and beasts with the beast as well. For the reason given for such the perfect peace is that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Yahshua, the Son. Of his Father, because all the truth that he shares with the world is given to him from the Father. Then is what we need, and shall we turn it down now when it is so freely brought to our doors? Just as soon as Yahweh's people obtain this knowledge of the Yahshua, just that soon shall the kingdom appear. So it is that while learning of the Yahweh and of his wisdom, we are at the same time bringing peace on the earth. Plainly then, those who have not this knowledge of the Yahshua cannot become citizens of his kingdom. How essential then that we study for ourselves, how essential that we know what is truth through our own personal experience, not through the experience of others. Experience, our own personal experience. Okay. We have the word peace that we want to underscore here on the earth. It says, Isaiah 11:10, and in that day there shall be a root of the Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and this shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. That is, in the day of the branch, That would be in the 12th parabolic hour, that this is Yashir's period now, again, and the antitype, and in matter of fact, he's the one that sets up this brass mountain, this mentioned there in Zechariah, in the last days. He set up the original brass mountain when he was here on earth 2,000 years ago, called the Kingdom of Grace, the mountain was, and so they were split in two. The last half of that mountain reaches down, it's in our day, and that's called the Kingdom of Glory. And that is in the day of the branch. And the last parabolic hour, 12th hour, and the probationary time, in the antitypical apostolic period, and the day that this family tree is completed. And it is that the kingdom of the peace, the church purified, sprouts, so to speak, from the ground up. It then stands for an ensign unto the people, and unto it shall the Gentiles seek for their salvation. Plainly then, this old family tree, kingdom, is to be set up while the probation lasts. Moreover, the place where it is to stand, rest, shall be glorified, will be glorious. Let's do that again. Moreover, the place where this kingdom is to stand, or to rest, shall be glorious. It is therefore to have its own location and its own boundary line. So its own location, this kingdom of David, the everlasting kingdom of David, no doubt the prophecy is here raised up in the earth, the United States, here in Texas, with the last prophet and typical Elijah, David. It is a stand, that's where it's raised up, so this is where it's going to stand. It is therefore to have its location and its own boundary line. It's going to have its own location and its own boundary line. It is to be for the gathering of the people into the ark of today, as was the Noah's ark and the Noah's day. So we are again brought unto the same truth that the Isaiah chapter 2 and Micah chapter 4 teach. Isaiah 11, 11 and 12, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Yeshua in the 12th parabolic hour, judgment of the living, harvest time, shall sit his hand again the second time for the recovery and harvesting of the remnant of the 144,000 of his people from the four corners of the earth as the first fruits offerings out of the Seventh Day Adventist Church, which shall be left from Assyria. That's one corner of the earth, and from Egypt, that's another, and from Petros, that's another corner of the earth, and from Cush, that's another corner, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea, and he shall sit up an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcasts of the Israel, and gather together the dispersed of the Judah from the four corners. Judah is the lawgiver, is the house of David, the kingdom of David. That Yahshua is reigning upon the throne of David here in this 12th parabolic hour. Tribe of Judah. Fulfilling that verse in Jacob made to his sons in Genesis 49:10. For a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until a shadow come, and unto him shall the giving of the people be. For the Yahshua is to recover the remnant, those that are spared of his people. And the day that this kingdom is set up, this everlasting kingdom of David, okay, that is, the kingdom is set, then those who are left behind among the Gentiles, those who seek after the ensign, and that ensign is made up of Yahshua and antitypical David, the two. The Yahshua is to recover them for this second recovery of his people declares inspiration is to be from the four corners of the earth. The first, as you know, was from Egypt only. Okay, so we got that straight. So the 144,000 comes out of the Adventist Church, and it comes from the spiritual Egypt. And everything outside the boundary line of Israel is called the land of Egypt, the wilderness of the people. Isaiah 11:13-15. For the envy also of the Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of the Judah, the lawgiver, Yahshua being the Shiloh, says the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until a shadow comes, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So this Genesis 49:10 shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. There shall be no sinner among them, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistine toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon the Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Yahshua shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. After the remnant of 144,000 are taken out, so that Egyptian sea, the tongue of it, that's your Adventist church, because she has a new tongue, and that's the tongue of the Jesuit Catholic, the Catholics. And that is, they only have one false doctrine and to teach for all doctrines, and because they, in their minds, they have trampled all the other doctrines underfoot during the Dark Ages, and they're trying to fulfill the antitype of that today, the Catholic Churches, and all churches, and all all dominions around the world, with that false Catholic Trinity doctrine of the three in one persons of the Godhead that was invented and created by Baal, the pagans of the Old Testament, coming as the descendants of Ham, the second son of Noah. They developed that false doctrine back there 4,000 years ago. Okay, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. For both kingdoms, Israel, sometimes called the house of the Ephraim, the ten of the ten tribes, and Judah, of the two tribes, but their headquarters at Jerusalem in the south. The ten tribes, Israel, with the headquarters in Samaria in the north, to be restored and united in the Antichrist. So these two houses are to two great kingdoms that were divided after Solomon's death. They were subjugated at two different times. He was subjugated at one time, but they had two different times to go into captivity. The ten tribes went into captivity to the Assyrians in the north in 721 B.C., and the two tribes, Judah, went into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar in 605 B.C. They shall never again envy or vex each other once they're joined back together. But Judah the lawgiver will be in charge of all the 12 tribes when that happens. And they will all be set up in this here new kingdom and its location together. And through Ezekiel commands the Yahshua, say unto them, thus saith the Yahweh, behold, I will take the stick of the Joseph, which is in their hand. Let's do that again. Say unto them, thus saith the Yahshua, the son of the Yahweh, behold, I will take the stick of the Joseph, which is in the hand of the Ephraim. Ephraim was Joseph's second-born son down in Egypt. Jacob anointed Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Joseph, that were born in Egypt. He anointed them to take the place of two the two sons of Jacob, to have a tribe of their own, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of the Judah, and make them one a stick, and they shall be one in mine hand, and the stick whereon thou ridest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and says unto them, thus saith the Yahweh, or thus saith Yahshua, the son of the Yahweh, behold, I will take the children of the Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land, upon the mountains of the Israel, and not one king, and typical Elijah David is his name, shall be king unto them all, and they shall be no more two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgression. But I will save them out of their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their Yahweh. They said, and so shall they be my people, and I will be their Savior, Redeemer, by the blood of Yahshua. Ezekiel 37:19-23. Thus it is, that in the days of these kings, not after their day, shall the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, of the heaven, set up his kingdom, and the Antichrist that shall never be destroyed here on this earth, Daniel 2:44-45. And the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it, the kingdom, shall break in the pieces. Let's do that again. This is, thus it is, that in the days of these 10 kings that represented by the 10 horns on the scarlet colored beast, Revelation 17, not after their days, so their days would be in the 12th parabolic hour also that we're in right now, shall the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh of the heavens, set up his kingdom, called the everlasting kingdom of David here on earth, for he comes and sits it up here in the 12th parabolic hour, judgment of the living, harvest time, and he sits upon the throne of David, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 9, verse 68, and Ezekiel 1, 32 and 33. There shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people. So this kingdom that's set up will never be left to another people, but it's going to stand for, and the kingdom of the antitypical kingdom of the David shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms represented by those 10 horns on the scarlet colored beast, Revelation 17, and it shall stand forever. So this is all done here in the last parabolic hour of probationary time, of the probationary time. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without the hand, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay. The clay is the part that represents Israel, believe it or not, the silver, and the gold. So the iron represents Rome, or the Catholic Church. The brass represents the kingdom of Alexander, and the type. And the silver represents the Medo-Persia. That was the kingdom that typical Cyrus set up in his day. Okay, and the gold, which is that represents Babylon. So that's who this great antitypical kingdom, this great mountain, that's hewn out of the mountain without hand, this great kingdom. So it's going to break in pieces all of these, what these metals symbolize and represent. It's going to break in pieces, all of them. It's going to break in pieces of the Catholic Church. It's going to break in pieces all of those that are the Alexander's descendants, all of the terrors of the clay, which represents Israel. You find that in Jeremiah 18:6. For the silver, Medo-Persia, and the gold represent Babylon, symbol of Babylon. And the type, the great Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, hath made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Daniel 2:44 and 45. If the kingdom, for the kingdom will destroy all of these kingdoms, then it will be set up before these kingdoms are destroyed, or the stone that is cut out of the mountain represents the house of David. And the days of these kings is itself to become a great mountain. Okay, so this stone then destroys the mountain that it was hewn out of, and that mountain was the Adventist Church, and the kingdom, is to fill the whole earth, Daniel 2:35 and 45. In the days of the Moses, the Yahshua smote but one stream, the Red Sea, and one nation Egypt. But now that the Yahshua promise says to smite every stream, all seven, and calls his people from the, and calls C-A-U-S-E, his people, from the four corners of the earth to reach the land without so much as getting their feet wet. Although today, as in the Moses day, such a thing seems utterly impossible, yet it is certain that the judgment of the Yahweh made is possible. Then he will now, too, the battle is the Yahshua's, the will is ours. We have nothing to do but to obey his voice. So I'll change that last sentence. For we have everything to do by the obeying of his voice. That is our only duty, brother, sister. There is no Bible truth plainer than this, and there is no truth as important at this time as is this truth. And so if it was important, when V.T. Hall was publishing it in the 10th Third Bible Hour in 1947, then it's certainly important now in 2023 and the 12th parabolic hour, because it yet to meet its fulfillment. These are the very reasons that it is either saved or destroyed. For the, by accepting it, is to have all of your sins blotted out. To reject it is to sin against the Holy Spirit. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And it is the Yahshua's counsel for you and for me. For you will know now that this present is a present truth that is irrefutable. Try and see for yourself. Isaiah 11:16, and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people that shall be left from the Assyria, like as it was unto the Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. After the first fruits and the lamb are gone unto the Mount Sinai, there shall be a highway for the second fruit, for those who are still in the Assyria, for the world. In other words, all obstructions shall be removed. Our faith shall not fail us, and our hope shall not be in vain, for the Yahweh has not forsaken the earth. He who rules and guides the stars in their unerring path is able for the leading us safely to our own land. Indeed, just as not one of them fails in his course, so not one of the Yahweh's promises shall ever fail for the materializing. Let no one deceive you in this study, verse by verse, word for word. Read, stop, and think. Do not hasty pass by this positive, most urgent truth, for as it was in the days of the flood, so shall it be now, says Yahshua, Matthew 24:37, for the firstborn, first fruit, that fail for the painting of the doorpost with the sacrificial blood of the lamb, and the first Exodus coming out of the Egypt with the Moses and Yahshua as that rock in the cloud above them, the type perished. So any of the first fruits of the day who failed to comply with the demands of the message for today will certainly perish at the angel's slaughter weapons, Ezekiel 9, 5, and 6, Isaiah 12, 1 to 3. And in that day thou shalt say, O Yahshua, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, the Yahshua, the son of the Yahweh, is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation by the blood of the everlasting covenant that he represents. Therefore, with the joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of the salvation. That's where we're getting inspiration today from this well. And that day, that is, and the day that his people are being gathered from the four corners of the earth, and that day are they thus to praise him, because they will plainly see that his anger has been turned away from them. They will positively know that he is their salvation, that the Yahshua is their salvation. Let's do that again. For they will positively know that the Yahshua, the son of the Yahweh, is their salvation by his blood. Hebrews 10, verse 19 and 20. That is a new and living way. He is to be their fear and their strength. For they will, therefore, with the greater joy, drink and the freshly revealed truths of the Holy Scriptures, Isaiah 12:4. And in that day shall ye say, praise ye Yahshua, call upon his name, and declare his doings among the people, by the making mention that his name is exalted. For in that day, let's do that again, in that day, that is, in the gathering time, shall they encourage one another for the praising of the Yahshua, for the calling upon his name, and for the declaring of his doings among the people. For they will then wholeheartedly and with the knowledge be doing real and profitable missionary work. Isaiah 12, 5 and 6. Sing unto Yahshua, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And that Holy One of Israel is Yahshua. And he truly has come down, and he's in the midst of this everlasting kingdom of David that he actually raised up the tabernacle of David, fulfilling the prophecy of Amos 9, verse 12, 13, 14, as the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. So it says that's in Isaiah 12, 5, and 6. For you certainly will not let anything hinder or stifle your voice now that the Yahweh commands to cry out and shout. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. Now this a king is his antithetical David. And princes shall rule in judgment. That's 144,000. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, that's antithetical Elijah David, and a covert from the tempest as the rivers of water in a dry place, and that would be right here in Texas, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land, Isaiah 32, 1 and 2. Now, I know. This is not what the popular theology teaches, very, you will admit that this is what the Holy Scriptures teaches, and that we must believe rather than men. Thus far, faith is the Yahweh's faith in the blood of Yahshua, promises has not failed us. And why will he fail us now? Never. Faith mixed with the works will bring everything into due season. For the adversaries of the truth shall fail, but the truth shall triumph, and the faithful with it. Now, faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of the Yahweh, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Abel offered unto the Yahweh, the Father, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. For the Yahweh testifying of his gift, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. By faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because Yahweh had translated him, for before his translation he had his testimony that he pleased Yahweh. But without faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh unto Yahweh must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Noah, being warned of the Yahweh of things not seen as yet, moved with the fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by the faith in the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By the faith he sojourned in the land of the promise as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with the Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath the foundation, whose builder and maker is the Yahweh. Through the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, also Sarah herself received the strength for the conceiving of the righteous seed of the Isaac, as promised by the Spirit, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. For these all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. for they that their cities have seemed to care plenty, that they seek a country. And surely, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore the Yahweh is not a, wherefore the Yahshua is not ashamed to be called their Savior and Redeemer, their King, their everlasting King. For he has prepared for them a city by the faith Abraham, by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant. Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that the Yahweh was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure by the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. Isaac blessed Jacob, and Esau concerning things to come. Esau being born of the flesh, the twin brother of spiritual Jacob, and Jacob being born of the spirit, just like Ishmael, the firstborn of Abraham, by the Egyptian mother Hagar, was born of the flesh, whereas Isaac was born of the spirit. So there you have it. Concerning things to come, by the faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshiped, leaned upon the top of his staff, by the faith in the blood of the covenant. Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By the faith in the covenant, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By the faith in the covenant, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yahweh than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, for the esteeming of the reproach of Yahshua greater, by the esteeming of the reproach of the Yahshua greater, with the greater riches than the treasures in the Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By the faith in the covenant, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through the faith in the everlasting covenant, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By the faith they passed through the Red Sea as by the dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. By the faith the walls of the Jericho fell down, and they were compassed about 7 days. By the faith in the blood of the covenant, everlasting covenant, the heart of Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with the feet. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of the Gideon, and the Barak, and of the Samson, and of the Jephthah, of the David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through the faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of the lion, quenched the violence of the fire, to shape the edge of the sword out of the weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned unto the flight to the armies of the alien. For the women received their dead raised unto the life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of the cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover of the bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, like as the Isaiah was, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in the sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. For they wandered in the deserts and in the mountains and in the dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through the faith of the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, received not the promise. Yet for Yahweh, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Hebrews 11:1-40. Now while the eternal records are being made, will you not cause your name to be written among the great heroes of the Yahweh? How can you afford to be eternally lose out at such a late hour? This brings in verse 30, this hour, contact us at the 11th hour, call us number 11, click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.